This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Maryville sponsors our phone lines. If you'd like to find out more about Maryville, go to maryville.edu. And the one great thing is they're assigned a life coach. Each new student assigned a life coach who's a knowledgeable resource for academic advising, mentoring, and campus networking and career guidance. Maryville.edu. Martin Kilcoyne joins us now. Martin, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm good. Just a simple request, Frank. Never, ever play that Bobbitt audio again. Ever.
How about Tom Jarrett, though?
Ever.
So how did he phrase that, Pausey?
All I know is they talked about Lorena Bobbitt throwing her husband's
junk
stuff into the throwing his penis into the field.
There we go.
Grassy knoll.
And then the police have to search for it. They find it. Kudos to him. And then the cop says, yeah, we got to it. Looks like the dogs haven't chewed on it or anything. I'm like, oh, my God.
And the quote
God.
Is, so you're holding his severed penis.
Yes.
Tom Jarrett, one of the most respected journalists.
What if you're a cop and you're looking for it and you accidentally step on it?
Oh, just stop.
Like, oh, no.
Like, I don't care how many times you want to play LBJ getting his pants made. I will laugh out loud. Ted Simmons says it's like doing heroin. He assumes, because he's never done heroin, but with hitting a baseball right on the nose. You can play that clip again. Guys calling me Randy and Milton and Morton, but don't ever play that Bobbitt audio.
You just feel like a pain down there or something.
Frank even really? Specified it could be a lengthy clip.
And then we've done great research on John's life since.
Yeah. Come on, Martin. It's a slow time.
Did we say 700 girls or 70 girls?
70.
It was
700
70.
Is Iggy.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know that Iggy has a number?
500. Oh. He claimed 500.
Oh, my God.
Right. John's is 70.
Hold on.
What are you doubting here?
Oh, my goodness.
Hold on. Iggy is saying that he slept with over 500 women?
Yeah. Well, no, 2 to 700.
So wait, that's but hold on. That's like a Strickland guarantee.
That's a wide delta.
It ended up being 700.
Hold on. Did you see how Martin phrased it? With a special emphasis on women. Martin wanted to be clear about that. Women.
That's a wide delta.
It's like
delta.
He was inferring something there.
Well, Iggy is pretty open about things.
That's like saying the Cardinals could win between 60 and 100 games next year.
Remember, Strickland said the Blues will win the Cup
years.
In the next 8 years.
Didn't somebody say give us a 10?
I think we pushed it to 10 the other day.
Yeah.
Well,
by the way,
last night.
Eric's divorce lawyer texting in, voices that are separated at birth, Greg Marisek and Jim Hart.
That's what you just did.
Yes, thank you. Eric's divorce lawyer, you win the text of the day, which will get you nothing, but...
That's
I texted Frank and Brian that during the show. I've always thought that, and today it just seemed more pronounced. Greg Marisek, Jim Hart.
Wow.
Voices separated
Very
at
nice.
Birth. Also, Frank, your Kelly Bryant question. I was closely monitoring him on Twitter, the Mizzou quarterback.
Oh, you were?
He has not tweeted since his Mizzou announcement, December 4th. So there was. I was waiting to see if he would chime in.
Remember with the congrats to Trevor.
Yeah,
ETN.
Or like, way to go, Clemson.
Yeah.
And, remember your Billiken coach who said, if you want to know how players feel about Cartier leaving the program, check all their tweets and support. And I haven't gone through every person, you know, every player on the team's tweets, but I don't think there's been an overwhelming sign of support. So Kelly Bryant has been silent, period. It's not like he's been tweeting up a storm and just decided to sit out the national championship game. It looks like his last social media post was when he announced he was going to Mizzou.
You got to believe he's in an apartment in Columbia, Missouri, watching that last night and seeing all these broadcasters gush about this big, strong quarterback throwing for 300 yards.
It's got to hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're a Mizzou fan, maybe this really motivates him even more, right? Gets him fired up.
But that's good.
But it's really, same with the Jalen Hurst thing, it's nobody's fault. You just got beat by a better player. You know, they gave you your chances. It's kind of similar, and so you can be mad, but I think if you watched last night, Trevor Lawrence is the clear better player.
Oh,
regardless
yeah.
of Kelly Bryant.
You have
so
to have a sense of
it's
reality.
Obvious. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. If Kim leaves you, and then you guys are at the... You walk into the pair schnooks, And Kim is with a really handsome guy with wavy blonde hair and abs. And Martin's coming in like in sweats after a workout. And they're buying some Camus wine. Martin would have to feel a little bit.
Especially with my natty light in hand.
That's right.
Powdered donuts.
A little bit hurt. Well, yes. Then I'd also have to look in the mirror and say, well, she probably did the right thing.
Well, you know, field goal kickers have been the major topic in sports over the last 48 hours. And we are joined by one of the greats of all time, a Pro Bowler in 2005, a guy that kicked 264 field goals, the pride of St. Louis, our friend Neil Rackers. Neil, welcome to the program. How are you?
Oh, doing great. How are you guys doing today?
Very good, sir.
So when you're watching the Bears game, give me an idea. Did you think he was going to make the kick? And then give me your immediate reaction.
You know, to be honest with you, I was a little worried about it after the first one. You know, he hit a 42-yarder that cleared the bar by maybe 2 yards. So there were a little bit of nerves going on there. But, you know, in all honesty, guys, I was just sick for the guy. You know, and the reason being I've been there. You miss a big kick like that, and it's bad that day, but gosh, I can't imagine what that exit meeting was like yesterday for him, having to look at all his teammates and realize they were all going home because of a missed field goal. So, you know, it is what it is, but boy, I tell you what, I bet he got out of Chicago quick yesterday.
Neil, I was with one of the young men that you have taught the art of field goal kicking with yesterday, Andrew Kempen. And he brought up an interesting point, and I want to see if you've actually done this yourself. When you have one of those kicks that don't count where they call the timeout, he said it's a good idea to run off the field and then run back on the field. What have you had that happen?
I agree with him, and he may have gotten that from us, but yeah, you want to keep your same routine that you always do. So. You know, it doesn't count. Obviously, they've called a timeout, so you have plenty of time. Go over, grab a shot of water, and start your routine over again. So if he didn't get that from us, good for him. If he did, we taught him well.
All right, now there's a little video evidence, Neil, that the ball was clearly partially deflected, tipped, whatever. My Chicago friends don't care. They're saying it's still his fault because he kicked it too low. What's the actual math on that?
You know, it was a unique kick because if I remember correctly, the wind was going left to right. So he would have been probably playing a ball from that distance, you know, favoring the left upright so that it would fade back down the middle. And it does look like when it got tipped, it started to spin, you know, hook a little bit left. So it was kind of cutting into that wind. So, you know, it's at the end of the day, I mean, it's one play of a football game. Obviously, it's a big play, but, you know, it does to me look like it got tipped. But Cody Parkey's not going to feel any better, I can tell you that.
What's the most uprights you've hit in one season? Because this guy, I think, hit 6 this season. I said that's actually a very specific skill. You couldn't do that if you were trying. Do you remember a year where you hit more than one?
Well, my rookie year, Al Roberts was my special teams coach, and in practice, we would be on the field and we would be aiming at uprights. That was how he wanted to dial me in, and I want to say we hit 3, 4, 5 uprights that year, and I told him next year we're going to start aiming down the middle during practice. But yeah, rookie year, if you look at my stats, they were I should have been fired pretty much weekly, but. But, yeah, we hit a lot of uprights that year.
We're talking with Neil Rackers, the pride of Aquinas Mercy, who entered the league with the Bengals in 2000 and left it with the Redskins in 2012 and an unbelievable career. I'm wondering, what was the worst moment? And you didn't have a moment quite like Parkey had on Sunday with the whole world watching in a missed field goal. But what was your worst moment?
You know, I in all honesty, I almost had that moment against Green Bay. I think the final score was 56-50. You know, I hooked a 30-something yarder, and luckily our 5'5" defensive back forced a fumble the next play, and we won the game. But I would say Monday Night Football game winner, Denny Green. They were who we thought they were against the Chicago Bears. That was a tough one because that was the one where I think we had a 19-point lead and all of a sudden I'm kicking a 43-yarder from the left hash with 2 seconds left, down two, and, well, let's just say we went home and we weren't happy. So that was a tough one, and that's why I can kind of relate to that. That Monday morning meeting is awful rough after a miss like that.
All right, here's a moment that only a diehard Rams fan would remember, but Matt Rocchio, who works with us later in the day, yesterday said, I've always wanted to ask Neil Rackers. It was a Rams-Arizona game, and it wasn't a free kick, but you were going to try like a 67-yarder. There was some kind of where you could run up on it. Do you know what play that we're talking about?
I do. It was, I think it would have been like a 72-yard fair catch free kick. And it's at the end of a half, or I guess the end of a game, but usually they're not punting at the end of a game. But if you fair catch the ball, you can say after a fair catch, if it's punted out of bounds, you can't do it. If the ball hits the ground, you can't do it. But if you fair catch a ball, you can call for a free kick. So you either pull out your R1 or L1 on kickoff and put a holder out there, but you can't use the tee, and you can have a full run for at the uprights for a field goal. And we were going to run it, and then I guess they declined a penalty or something, so this half ended. But there was another game I tried a 68-yarder, and if you watch the YouTube video of that, it did not go well. So the Rams should not have been scared.
Who had the best leg you've ever seen, either growing up, competing against, or seeing now? The best leg you ever saw?
I would have to say Sebastian Janikowski. Just the pure power. He's got such a short swing, so there's not much margin for error. So power, I would have to say him. As far as a smooth swing, you know, the most accurate swings, I would go with a Josh Brown, a Justin Tucker, or a Robbie Gould. Because my swing was always pretty violent. There wasn't much pretty about it, but I'd watch those guys, and it's just like a smooth golf swing. And I was always envious of that.
And how much of it is mental? So can the Bears bring Cody Parkey back next year and think that he can kind of mentally be right?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I've never had to sit a whole off season on a miss like that, and it's tough. It's tough to look at your teammates. But I will tell you this: if he's able to get back in the locker room and go to work, he's going to be. I think he'll be great from here on out. I mean, you hit that many uprights. I mean, you're 3 inches from being great this year, but as it happens, you're not. And I've always said Chicago, you know, you can go through 10 kickers in Chicago before you find a good one, and you need to hang on to them because it's not an easy place to kick. I wonder how Robbie Gould was feeling sitting out in San Francisco with what Chicago did to him a couple of years ago because of the salary cap. I wonder how he felt about that whole situation. But yeah, it's not an easy place to do it, but I hope for his sake that he can. And I'll tell you what, hats off to him because the way he handled the media, the way he handled himself after the game, you know, to me, that's a grown man. I thought he did a great job.
Scott Norwood did get another year with the Buffalo Bills after missing that 47-yarder. Hey, before we let you go, you have spent the last probably 7 or 8 years helping young kickers in the St. Louis area. And part of that is because Neil Rackers became a great kicker because a legendary kicker worked with you. Tell the story.
You know, Pat Leahy is single-handedly the reason I ever kicked a football or even gave myself an opportunity to do it. You know, I had accepted a scholarship to the University of Kentucky to play soccer, and he told me this is what you need to be doing. And so Pat worked with me pretty much every Sunday for 2.5 years, never wanted anything from me, just felt the need to pass it along to somebody else. And, you know, at Illinois, my career wasn't great, but, you know, the fact that I worked with Pat, as luck would have it, the special teams coach that drafted me to the Bengals was Pat's last special teams coach with the Jets.
Wow.
So Pat, getting to work with Pat and having a relationship with Pat gave me a lot of opportunities that opened a lot of doors for me. So, I'm eternally grateful to that.
And, Neil, from your Wikipedia page, I thought I knew everything about you. It says you were born in East St. Louis. Is that accurate?
You know, it's amazing how people can get on there and change that because apparently my nickname is Rickety as well. I've never heard that. You know, I was not. I got relatively close in Florissant, but, you know, yeah. I read unique things about myself pretty consistently.
Well, that I thought that stood out. I'm like, I'm not sure that's accurate. There's a lot of Wikipedia myths that are not, in fact, true. I figured that was one. The Golden Toe winner, Frank, in 2005.
Good stuff. Neil, great to hear your voice. Thank you, sir.
Hey, always great talking with you guys. Have a good one.
All right, Neil Racker is joining us. What a leg he had.
And what a great run. 2000 to 2012.
Yeah.
And then the later you get in your career, even when you're out of work, you always just kind of stay ready. And I'm sure, and I know he had a bunch of calls where he was already retired and maybe starting working in the professional ranks. And you get a call on a Monday or a Tuesday and they say, hey, Seattle wants you to come kick on a Tuesday. Hey, the Niners want you to come out and do it. Remember the punter the Rams had? Mike Horan?
Oh, yeah.
Who looked like he was probably 40, but he looked like he was 60. And this is when the Rams were really good, but they needed a punter. And so they brought him out. And it was like a Monday tryout. Then he stuck around. I mean,
yeah.
We always say the insurance agent. That's an insult to our guy, James Carlton. But he looked like
your
neighborhood accountant. And there he was punting for the Rams.
Well, I think I mentioned this before, but my most memorable story at Channel 5 in 25 years has been the Steve Little story, and that was a kickoff that he missed three field goals against the Rams. In fact, one of them hit a crossbar on a Sunday. So Jim Hanifin on, like, Monday brings in Neil O'Donohue, and they have a kickoff where the team is actually there after practice, and they're having a field goal competition. Steve Little and this guy, Neil O'Donohue. And Steve Little failed the contest. He lost. And so that night he went to a place called the Oz in East St. Louis. He had a Mazda RX-7. And then on the way back, 270 and Ledoux, that one sign, it's that exit where you get off at DeSmet, he wrapped his Mazda RX-7 around that sign, became a quadriplegic. Oh. And then when I remember when I because I used to go to Smet that way, and I would see that sign mangled, and I'd see like the scratch marks. You could see it every day, and I remember when I first got back here, one of the things I asked Bush, I said, could I go to Little Rock and do a story on Steve Little? And then Steve Little spent just right down the road a year at St. John's Hospital, and then the governor of Arkansas used his plane to fly him back home. That governor was Bill Clinton. And then so we went down there to do a story on Little, and all he could move for like 19 years was his right index finger, and his brother took care of him. But, wow, what a story.
And he died, what, in the last 10 years or longer ago?
1999.
Yeah.
20 years ago. I actually remember that story. When did you do that story?
I think in 97. I remember asking his brother, I said, why have you spent your whole life doing this? He goes, because he's my brother. And then he just kind of paused, and he started to cry. It was powerful. Steve Little. We'll take a short time out. We're coming back with five questions right after this.